motives, but Christ sees through every motive. Adonijah wasn't concerned about the glory of the king here. And I will tell you, all of these that he mentions here with regard to Abiathar and Adonijah and Joab and Shimei, the one common factor that they all had was that they were rebels to the king. This should be a warning to any who, under pretense of profession, come before God, even giving lip service as if to honor him, but in their heart they are rebels against Christ. They ask things for their own personal pleasure and desire, but their desire is not for the glory of Christ. It says that they such speak the word against their own life. Not anything to be treated like. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father. We're talking about justice executed. This is not just a reaction. But he is acting here in preservation of this very throne upon which God had put him and hath made me a house as he promised. Adonijah shall be put to death this day. I'll tell you this, you send the wrong mediator, there's nothing but justice executed that awaits. He thought to be able to approach unto Solomon by one who had brought him into this world and somehow find favor. And even Bathsheba was mistaken in how she approached and asked this request. But justice had to be exercised. It's not how close we get to Mary or how close we get to Joseph and all these things that people assume are mediators between God and man. This goes all the way back to the fall. It goes back to Cain, who sought to come in another way. It wasn't because he had a bad attitude, it was because he had the wrong sacrifice. And so, nothing but judgment awaited. And so, when he asked this question, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? People today that believe that there's some grace even in the water, and they argue that. They say you can't get to heaven apart from being immersed. And really what they're saying, apart from being immersed in our religion. That's the first question I'm going to ask you. Well, when were you immersed? How were you immersed? There's congregations around here that think we're an adulterous congregation because we don't identify with a baptism like they do, they say, that goes all the way back to John the Baptist. Somehow they've got this figured out. That every one of their preachers somehow is connected back to John the Baptist. And that, so, their hope is in that true baptism. And they'll make you, if you ever go to worship there, they're going to make you get back in the water. That's not what we're preaching. And there's some others. They call them Church of Christ, but I call them Campbellites because that's who their founder was. But they believe that unless you have been baptized in water, you can't claim to be saved. They have no explanation for the thief on the cross. And I asked one of them one time, I said, explain that to me, how water is salvation. And they said, oh, well, that's easy. Salvation is like an island out here. And to get there, you got to go through the water. But that was his answer. Nowhere in Scripture. I'm telling you here, this question was not asked because somehow Philip was preaching water immersion as being necessary to salvation. But it was an identification with this Christ Jesus. And that's why the word baptized really means in the Greek language, immersion. Even those that hold the sprinkling today will have to go back and admit that yes, in the origination word of it, it means immersion. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because you're identifying with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, his burial, and his resurrection. If you go to bury a body, and you just take a little dirt and sprinkle it on the body and say, okay, he's buried, there's a problem there. So all of this is significant as to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That upholding of all things is the word providence. It's not like some think that God set the world in motion. And I heard a preacher actually saying this in one of the nursing homes I was enrolled in. They brought him in to speak to the residents there. And I can't tell you how I just wanted to get up from that enrollment table and go in there and stop the meeting, because this man was saying that God set the world in motion, but he gave it over to man. And now Satan has ruined it and jumped in, but God is watching and waiting for man now to get it right and quit following the devil and come back to see that God really is the way they should go. But choice is up to man. Can you imagine if this world were run that way, like a clock? Some people see it that way. God set in motion every once in a while, like a wind-up clock, you have to wind it again and get it going, so he intervened. That's not what Scripture says. Here we see the wisdom of God in upholding not some things. You see, things is even in italic. All! Whatever you can think of. All! How? By the word of his power. If he were not sovereign in providence, how could it be that he could have directed all things, even with regard to his death? And what wicked men did unto him. As my representative, had I been there, I'd have done the same thing. But all of that was according to the word of his power. To the point where it says there in Acts 4:20, they couldn't do Pilate, Herod, Jews, Gentiles. They couldn't do one thing to our Lord but what God in Christ himself had already purposed.